Well, good morning, brothers and sisters. We are going to continue on the sermon series that we began last week, and we're talking about these two words, follow me, and what Jesus might mean when he says that to people in the Gospels and also to us. Today, the scripture comes from Matthew chapter 9. If you have your Bibles, you're more than welcome to follow along with me. If you don't, you're welcome to listen. So we read from Matthew chapter 9. I'm going to begin with verse 9 and read down through verse 13. As Jesus continued on the road, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at a kiosk for collecting taxes. He said to him, "Follow me," and Matthew got up and followed him. As Jesus sat down to eat in Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners joined Jesus and his disciples at the table. But when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard that, he said, "Healthy people don't need a doctor, but sick people do. Go and learn what this means. I want mercy and not sacrifice. I didn't come to call righteous people, but sinners." May the Lord add a blessing to both the hearing and the reading of his holy word, and let us pray. We are so thankful, gracious Lord, for the opportunity once again to gather together as a community of faith in this place to worship you. We thank you for the way that your Holy Spirit has moved through our gathering thus far, and we pray that your Spirit would continue to move among us. Lord, I pray that in the next few minutes that I might decrease in this place in order that Jesus Christ might increase. And I pray, Lord, that my words would be your words. And God, as always, we humbly ask that you would open our ears, open our minds, but most, Father God, open our hearts, that the words that you have for us today might penetrate deeply within us, that they might be more for us than simply more information. But we pray, Lord, that your words might transform us from the inside out. All this we ask not for our own sake, not because of who we are, but for the sake of the one that loved us, Jesus Christ. And it's in the name of the risen Lord Jesus Christ that we pray today, saying amen. I'm not sure that there are any three letters in the English language that can strike more fear and contempt in all of us than these three, IRS. IRS. You know, in my life, I've known one person who worked for the IRS, and he didn't often tell people what he did. He would often just say, "I work for the government," and leave it at that. But it's interesting to me that as we think about the scripture today, the scripture that I read to you this morning from the Gospel of Matthew, about tax collectors, about how much tax collectors in our day are not any more well-liked than the tax collectors were in Jesus' day, right? I mean, there's not anybody that goes, jumps out of the bed on April 15th and goes, "Oh, great, today's the day that my taxes are due." The difference, I think, is important to understand in the tax collectors, if you would, in our time, and the tax collectors in Jesus' time, because remember that Israel is being occupied by the Romans. And what they got from the Romans were roads, protection, lots of soldiers everywhere, but it came at a cost. And each and every Roman province had to turn in taxes to the Roman government. Imagine, if you will, if instead of us having to send our money to the IRS, we had to send it to the IRS of China, or perhaps Russia, because we were being occupied. And you get a little sense of what it was like in those days and how much they detested the tax collectors of their day. You see, the tax collectors, besides the fact that they're working for the enemy, they also would skim a little bit. You might owe $10 and they might ask for 12 or 15 so they could pad their own pockets. So they were almost universally detested people. And so how shocking is it that in this story, we have Jesus walking by a tax collector's booth, and understand most of the tax collector's booths, the kiosk is what my translation said today, most of their booths were on the borders in between provinces because that's part of what you had to pay. You had to pay tax to get from one side to the other. Imagine what it was like for Matthew. You see, I told you last week that for most Jewish males, what they aspired to, what they wanted when they went to school, what they hoped for was to be called by a rabbi. But most of them did not get that. And so the ones that didn't get called by a rabbi ended up usually going in their father's profession. Last week we talked about the fishermen who went into the fishing profession just like their fathers. We talked about how Jesus, following his father Joseph, went into the carpentry profession. But sometimes there were people for one reason or another who didn't have family or who didn't really have anything to do. And these were the people usually that the Romans chose to be the tax collectors because they needed some kind of income. They needed some kind of a job. They needed some kind of a vocation. So day after day, week after week, month after month, in the heat, sits Matthew collecting taxes from the people who come by until one day, this young rabbi with a spring in his step, with a gleam in his eye, is coming through, and he looks at Matthew, the tax collector, and says, "Follow me. Follow me." It's interesting the words that the scripture uses. The best translation of the word that he got up is probably he arose. It's a nice resurrection word, isn't it? Matthew arose and went with Jesus. And then later that afternoon, Jesus accepted an invitation from Matthew to have dinner, to have a meal at Matthew's house. Well, the group called the Pharisees didn't like this at all, because one of the things that they were proponents of was keeping yourself clean, keeping yourself pure, keeping yourself unspoiled. And they had this idea that the best way to do that was to kind of keep yourself in quarantine. You didn't hang around people like that. You just didn't do it. And so they start to grumble. They start to complain. And I think it's very interesting what they say in the scripture, because they don't ask Jesus the question directly, but they say to the disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" You know, you can just tell by this line, can't you, how loathed the tax collectors were. There are tax collectors and there's all the other sinners lumped together. And then Jesus overhears this and says, "Healthy people don't need a doctor, but sick people do. Go and learn what this means. I want mercy and not sacrifice." Now, what Jesus is doing here is he's quoting an Old Testament prophet. He's quoting from Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. "I want mercy and not sacrifice." And finally, Jesus says, "I didn't come to call righteous people, but I came to call sinners." Fascinating. It's fascinating to me that Jesus would call someone to follow him, someone to be one of his close disciples, somebody who likely wrote that gospel, who was a tax collector, who was a sinner, who was a hated person. And you know, I think even in our lives today, brothers and sisters, we often, don't we, want to quarantine ourselves and just be with other like-minded people? Because it's a lot easier that way, isn't it? I mean, really, it's a lot easier when I know somebody's a Christian. We're coming from the same background. We're coming from the same place. Maybe we go to the same church. It's a lot easier for me to understand them and to quarantine myself in that than it is to go out and be with people who might not fit the profile, whatever that profile might be. But what we see in this passage, when Jesus says to Matthew, "Follow me," it's evident that Jesus is doing something different. In the kingdom that Jesus is bringing about, it is not going to be a kingdom of separation. It is not going to be a kingdom based on who's following the rules. It's going to be a kingdom based on who needs God the most. It's fascinating, isn't it? Who needs God the most? And Jesus says, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people need a doctor. I didn't call those who were righteous. I came to call those who were sinners. Jesus said, what you don't understand are these are the exact people that I came to be with. And what really fascinates me about this passage is how Jesus quotes Hosea chapter 6. And he says, you need to learn this, that I desire mercy, not sacrifice. You see, the whole Old Testament, the whole Jewish temple system beginning from the Old Testament was based on sacrifices. You probably already know this. It was based on sacrifices. It was based on going to the temple and sacrificing. It was based on keeping these rules and making sure that you did everything right. And Jesus said, you don't understand that what God wants is mercy. Mercy. Not sacrifice. Not making sure everything is lined up in the way it's supposed to be, but what God wants is mercy. And you know, it fascinates me that we, brothers and sisters, we are the people who have received mercy upon mercy, grace upon grace, and yet we are the people who are so very, very slow often to extend mercy to the people who need it the most. To those who are the marginalized of our society, to those who are on the fringes, to those that you just don't associate with. Now, this idea of being in quarantine is interesting to me, that we would want to keep ourselves away from folks, because 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says this, greater is the one that is in you than the one who is in the world. Do you ever heard that before? Greater is the one that is in you than the one that is in the world. And sometimes I think we try to separate ourselves. We try to keep ourselves away from the bad people, however we define them. You know, if you're a Republican, the bad people are Democrats. If you're a Democrat, the bad people are Republicans, right? I mean, you know, it's not too much of a stretch, is it? You know, let's keep ourselves separated. But yet in the kingdom that Jesus is talking about, Jesus says, you know what, the kingdom is exactly for people like this, for people who need it, for people who understand mercy. Therefore, if you and I want to really be the followers of Jesus, if we want to hear Jesus' call to follow him, then we also have to be people of mercy. Amen? We have to be people of mercy. We have to be people who are willing to extend mercy, people who are willing to reach out to the least, to the marginalized, to the misunderstood, to those that nobody else wants. Because when I read the Gospels and I think about Jesus, Jesus seems to me like somebody who never left anybody out. Amen? He never left anybody out. Jesus always wanted to increase his kingdom. He always wanted the circle to get wider and wider and wider. And brothers and sisters, what I think this has to say to us today is, are we going to be people who follow the rules and do everything right, or are we going to be people of mercy? Are we going to be people of mercy? Because you know that inner judge that lives inside of every one of us. We have this inner judge, don't we? And we look at other people and we say, well, I ain't too much, but man, I'm better than him. And I may not have it all right, but compared to her, woo, I've got it going on. And Jesus is saying to us, if you're going to be my followers, if you're going to be my followers, then you need to remember, greater is the one that is in you than the one that is in the world. And if you're going to be my followers, these are exactly the people that I came to save. And you know, most of us have had the experience, haven't we, of Jesus extending mercy, grace, forgiveness to us. It is what's attracted us to Jesus in the first place. And it bothers me sometimes that we Christians are the very ones who are least likely to extend grace, mercy, and forgiveness to somebody who really, really needs it. It's almost as if we got our grace, our mercy, our forgiveness, but we're unwilling to give it out. So maybe what Jesus is calling us to do is Jesus is calling us to look around. Jesus is calling us to look around and say, hey, who is out in my world who is just like Matthew? Who is despised? Who is unclean? Who is in the wrong class? Who doesn't fit into my circle? Who is that person? And what we are called to do, brothers and sisters, is look for those Matthews in our lives and to reach out to them and say, guess what? Jesus wants you to follow him. Because I can only imagine what it must have felt like to Matthew after sitting in that toll booth day after day after day. You know, tax collectors in Jesus' day were not permitted to go to the synagogue. They weren't permitted to go to the synagogue because they were considered unclean, not just because of what they did, because they had to deal with Gentiles, non-Jews, all the time. They couldn't go to the synagogue. And yet Jesus says, follow me. Follow me. And I just wonder, people of God, if Jesus is not calling us to look around for the Matthews in our lives, the Matthews in our world, and to say, hey, do you really understand, Jesus might be saying to us, what it means to have mercy rather than sacrifice? Do you understand what it means to have mercy on others and to reach out to people who have no one else to reach out to them? May we be people who hear this call of Jesus, who are not willing to quarantine ourselves, but instead are willing to share the grace, the mercy, the love that we found in Jesus with others, but particularly, brothers and sisters, with the others that nobody else wants to be with. Whoever they are, wherever they are, there's a Matthew in your life and there's a Matthew in mine somewhere who's just waiting for somebody to come along and have mercy on them and say to them, Jesus wants you to follow him. Will you and I answer the call? Will you and I look for the Matthews in our world and in our lives? Amen.